The title of the night's lesson is Taking Thoughts Captive. Taking Thoughts Captive. The subtitle is Strongholds. We did a message a couple of times in 2015, around August of 2015 or something like that, of pulling down of strongholds. And I told you at that time a stronghold is an area where most people have the same beliefs or value, an area dominated by a particular group, a protected place where members of a military group stay and can defend themselves against attack. It's a fortified place, a fortress, a place of security, a survival, a place dominated by a particular group or whatever. The stronghold that we have now, and the stronghold that's in the world that we're looking at, is our thoughts. We've been birthed into a world, a carnal world, a world dominated by culture, a world dominated by cultural views and aspects of the culture and of this world. And by being dominated by this world and the things of this world, we have to stop thinking like this world, stop being influenced by this world, stop being pressed into its mold or whatever. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So this is an act that we're going to have to do, as in Revelations 18th chapter, it tells us to come out of Babylon, for the come out of Babylon. The Apostle Paul had to vigorously defend himself to the Corinthians about certain things that Christians do to you, professing Christians do. And we have to stop thinking like this world. And I was talking before we started about television and the news and some of the things in the news, and with all of the sexual harassment stuff and everything, all that's part of the world that's been going on. And I don't know if it's a clearing of the mind, if it's vengeance, if it's demonic or whatever, but God tells us not to get entangled in this world's affairs. So I have to not get too tied up with that. And strongholds that we're looking at in the thoughts, it's those that's producing carnal-mindedness. In other words, where man's having unchaste thoughts. And like I say, we have to rule our thoughts. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 1st to the 6th verse says, "For though we walk in the flesh as mortal men, we are not carrying on our spiritual warfare according to the flesh and using weapons of man. The weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." They are there. The weapons we use are prayer, the word of God, the sword of God. We use different devices in this warfare that we are in. They're not carnal weapons. The fortresses that is destroying, it's pulling down things that have anchored themselves in our lives. And that's, I told you, a stronghold that I was trying to get pulled out of my life. One of them was television. Now, television as a whole, I'm not saying is what's wrong. It's to the point where it affects my imagination of my thought life, my perception of things. Strongholds could be eating. It could be all kinds of things that strongholds come in. We see that's why God destroyed the world, was because man's thoughts was continually evil. And he says, for man's thoughts are wicked and they're continually evil, so he was going to destroy man out of the face of the earth. He says, Paul continues on to say, "We are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ." That's why I say I don't watch a lot of the news programs to shape opinion or whatever, because I have to judge both parties in the aspect of why they're saying it. What is the intent of the thought of their heart? Why are they doing this? Why now? What's going on? What's influencing what's going on? And television is the same way. And it's written on a worldly stage. Television is written to attract the world or whatever. And some things it doesn't. Sometimes it doesn't display reality the way it is. That's why, you know, like I say, I've never watched any of the reality shows. I can't remember a reality show I've ever watched, because all of them are predicated on emotions and things of this world. It says we have to take every thought captive and the purpose captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ, being ready to punish every act of disobedience. So we have to take an active role in this. We have to take an active role in aggressive role as David did. David was always putting the battle in array. And that's what the church has to do. It has to put the battle in array. This is man's participation with God in overcoming. Man has a role to play. You can't be passive in this. That's why, and when he said, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. You're not just going to sit there and in a passive way inherit the kingdom of God or go in. It's going to be a fight, and it's going to be the fight of your life. It's going to be a fight. And you've been thinking one way, and to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, what a disciple is, he crucified all of what he knew, all of what he understand, and he starts to think like his master. And our master is Jesus Christ. That's why he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So our thoughts are no longer pertinent. What we think, God says, your thoughts are not like my thoughts, and your ways are not like my ways. So it's a dying off to this carnal self, the fleshly man. Let me read that again in another version of the Living Version. Paul says, for we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. So we're in a battle, and we have to fight this warfare. So I do have a thought on what's going on in the news. I just have to wait for the right time or the right way to say things. You know, you have to learn when to speak and when not to speak. It says the prudent will keep silent. So it's some things of God you hold back. It's some things that you just, you allow God to lead you and guide you. And he subjects you to the things that he wants to. You notice that Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God, but he was led there to have this fight with the devil. He's leading us into battle, and don't try to get away from around the battle. Don't try to get away from around the suffering. All that builds character. That is necessary. He says we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keep people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And after you have become fully obedient, we will punish everyone who remains disobedient. So there's something that we have to do. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Okay, so remember that. We walking in the flesh, but we don't war after the flesh. And I was talking about our thoughts and imagination. So this regeneration, I told you that was necessary, that you had to be in repentance. God had given you faith, and you were birthed by the seed of God, that seed of the word of God, that seed of faith. And then when he initiates that process of regeneration, that's when you start on this journey of taking those thoughts captive. You have to have this change of heart, a transforming of heart. The world, the flesh, and the devil are attacking you. Presumption brings a stronghold in your life. a lot of people presume things. I was asking my wife on the way up here, I said, was Walmart open? And first she said, yeah, no, it's probably going to close early or whatever. But then I talked to her a little while longer, and she said, well, I don't know or whatever. Jesus' mama and them presumed Jesus was with them. You know what presumption is? Presumption is to assume something is so without proof of it being so. To take in the fact that something is a certain way. We are not to presume, and in some versions of the Bible it says knocking down speculations of what man's thinking, what you think should be, because it's not by your opinion. See, Satan was going by his opinion, and Jesus said, it is written. We have to go by the sure word of prophecy. We have to go by what God's word says. We have to get away from presumption. That's the only thing that's not tangible. And that's why David prayed to keep us from presumptuous sin. When you have the wrong thoughts about things in life, when you worry about how you will do this and worry about certain things, Jesus told you about that was a producer of sin. That stronghold Satan have in your life, because it brings about anxiety. It brings about stress. It brings about depression. If you don't watch it, you have to start being on medication for those things. So Jesus is trying to free your mind and liberate your mind. But mankind said, well, no, do that, but I have a medicine here to take, and that'll free you up from that. It'll remove all depression. It'll remove all anxiety. I have a medicine. You can just eat all you want. And you can take these diet pills, or have this diet, this special diet, and this special operation we can have, and you can continue to eat or whatever. But God says gluttony is a sin. So what you have to do is reshape your thinking, because with all the medications and everything, it's trying to think of give you a personal way out, a human, a scientific ways, where God's saying, well, by his stripes you were healed. So we need to develop the faith to trust what God's word says is so. God's word. That's what we have to keep our mind on, his word. Slothfulness. As you watch, and especially as you get old, slothfulness is a part of the body degrading. It's a part of the body falling apart. And if you don't watch it, you'll be sitting around sleep half the time. Sleeping all the time. You lose a will to live, a desire to accomplish things. There's many things, and there are many old people that they know if their mind getting off not doing things. So they do things just to keep themselves busy, because idleness is a workshop for the devil. Idleness is a sign that the law of thermodynamics has set in, that everything comes to corruption. That it's going to come, the corruption will come. See, the body is not redeemed at that time. God's going to redeem this old corruptible body. So we have to think as Christ, just as Moses thought in his thoughts in his mind, God kept him strong through his thinking, and he was able to descend up on the mount to be able to see afar off. He said his eyesight hadn't dimmed and his strength hadn't failed him, and it was time for him to die, and he didn't figure it was time for him to die. God invigorates us. He says his word would be strength and health and marrow to your bones. See, these mighty weapons that God give you is his word. That's what's giving you life. That's what give you a will or a desire to live. A lot of people just mailing in because they stop having thoughts of God's thoughts of accomplishment and just say, heck, I can't do it anymore. I can't do this. I can't. Before long, you locked in your mind till you don't want to do nothing but sit there and watch TV and sit in the rocker and just let me just lay here in this corner and die. Just leave me at peace. A lot of the old people in church sit down, I've done all I can all these years. Well, if the tree has stopped producing fruits, it's time for what? The tree to be hewed down. It's time for the tree to go on home. It's cumbering the ground. But if we read God's word, where he says that the older people, some of the ones that have deep roots in his word, they'll produce fruits a hundredfold, even into old age. That tree don't stop producing fruit. It has some of the most sweetest fruit. It'll bring fruit, still be fruit bearing. So we see where it's the thoughts, that idleness, the cares of this world, the cares of this life, lack of self-examination, because we don't want to be hard on ourselves. You see, that's why I said, the women that are accusing these men, let's examine them. Are they examining themselves? Do they get free just because 20 or 30 years they done brought this man down? They done destroyed his life, everything he's done worked for, everything his family stood for, everything, because he was in the world at that time. He may have done these things. But if God telling you or leading you, or you have different thoughts and intentions, the reason you're doing what you're doing, why wait so long? On the other side, Ecclesiastes also say that every work that's done shall come to the light. So this is a wake-up call for many of men that no matter how many years it's been or whatever, one day someone may come and put their hand on the shoulder and say, you're the one. You're the man, David. You're the one who did this deed. So you better walk circumspective, because you don't know who will be in many a year from now that will accuse you of something. God judged the accuser and the accused. He judges the alligator and the allegation. He judges all. Every sin and transgression shall receive his just recompense of reward. So these men, some of them, may be receiving their just recompense of reward. But I can't judge that. That's why I say I can't touch that. I have to look at both sides. I judge neither one of them. Now, in some cases where you have the person saying this and that person doesn't deny it, that person confesses it, and then you hear what they say, then you could maybe judge the matter. Whether it was a sin or transgression, a sin of commission, where this person was under the power of sin, and they may have changed, because without Christianity, we all would be condemned. If that's the case, we all condemned of something we've done in our past life. Years ago, how would you like somebody to dig in your life and look and see what you did years ago before you came to the Lord? So we have to renew our thoughts and things. Sometimes we think we're strong, but like I say, we're pulling down strongholds. I had pulled some words or some things from our last teaching back in December as we was teaching on that, and those were some of the ones that was from that time in December when we was talking on pulling down strongholds. But you see, the focus now is on the thought itself. You have to be properly equipped to fulfill the task God has for you to do. Now, to go out and fight this fight, you being prepared each day. Bible study, Sabbath day services, plus prayer, and each day God is preparing you for the warfare that's going on. This war is going on. If you look at Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the 13th verse, it tells you to pull on the whole armor of God. Now, I don't want to take too much time and delineate on each one of those pieces of the armor. But you know, Satan is an adversary that goeth about seeking whom he may devour. And that you have to walk circumspectively in this life. Paul says, therefore, put on the whole armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm with the belt of truth. Buckle around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit of God, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So believe me, I was leaving home the other day. I'd had a pretty good day, but I went right there to CVS and I got into a battle, a spiritual battle that I lost. And see, it was because of my lack of obedience to the Word of God, and I was recalling the Word of God, but it was the flesh. See, that's the enemy we're warring against, the flesh. That's why Paul said when he tempted to do good, evil was right there. So you study the Word of God, you meditate in the Scriptures, but see, there's a time of overcoming. We have to overcome evil. We can't run from evil. As I tell you, evil will follow you. Elijah tried to run away from evil. You remember he had slain all the prophets and stood up to the prophets of Baal, but he ran from Jezebel. And he said, Lord, it's enough for me to die. See, after then, notice that God told him to go and ordain or anoint Elisha to fight the battle because this woman had put Elijah on the run. We need a man that's going to stand up to the woman and throw her over. Remember, Jehu had said, throw her over, throw her out the window. Yeah. Elisha had prophesied that. We need somebody to speak the Word of God in this day and time. That's the weapon. That's the sword of the Spirit. That's your rod. See, that's what's judging the world in this latter days, speaking the Word of God. We have to be able to use that Word of God. 1 Corinthians, the 19th verse of the first chapter, says, it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring down to nothing the understanding of the prudent. And the cleverness of the clever, it's read and amplified as saying, I will destroy the cleverness of the clever who do not know me, I will nullify. You know, in other words, the foundations are being destroyed. As you were saying, one of your newsmen, it was shocking of what happened, of what was the accusation against him. And I had one that I was pretty shocked about, you know, I really believed in him. But see, that's why you don't put confidence in man or whatever. It was a guy, from a newscaster from MSNBC that this happened to. And you see, we have to be ready to go on to another life. Okay, so if he's a godly person, if he's been repentant of doing those things, sometimes God allows you to be knocked down because you have to pay for those transgressions. If those are the things you did, God has to knock you down. It may be a humbling experience, but you can rise up again if you're faithful and you're walking in the Lord. So it was his way of moving you to another job. I was telling one of my sons that, well, this may be the job you want or whatever, but then God may allow something to happen. Someone can lie on you or something can happen. God moves you from one place to another. But you have and keep your confidence in God. You keep thinking in the Word of God and bring those thoughts of into captivity of paying back and of vengeance. You just have to be meek and humble. And what a meek person is, I tell you, a meek person takes whatever God gives without murmuring and complaining. And you just move on. You're strong in the Lord. Circumstances don't control you. You keep your thoughts about yourself. See, that was Job's problem. Job wasn't keeping his thoughts lined up to where he would be asking God and saying, will you show me what I've done, and demanding counsel. He was taking what God was giving him, but there was a little murmuring, a complaining there. It was a little just talking and saying things where Job said, now I understand. In other words, the Lord give it and the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of God. So you have to keep good thoughts about yourself. We have to keep these thoughts. So the wise in this world, God comes and there'll be a day of reckoning. And that's what I tell you about this nation. Listen to Isaiah, the 29th chapter of Isaiah, starting at the 13th verse. He says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips, they do honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. It's not the precepts of God, which is precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. It's man's thoughts, man's philosophy. And that's why I say we got to look at the word of God, because it cuts to the marrow of the bone. It's a discerner of the intents and thoughts. It can tell why you're doing something. You know, Jesus looked at the Pharisees and he knew their thoughts. He knew that they were trying to kill him. And that's why they were mad at him, because he knew what they were thinking. And you remember, the thoughts of man is continually evil. See, that's where the problem is. Have you brought your thoughts into subjection? Have you brought those into captivity? I preached Saturday about Amnon allowing birds to build nests. In other words, you can't stop those thoughts from coming in your mind, but you can knock the bird off there. Don't let him stay on your head and build a nest. You can cast it down. Cast down imagination and daydreaming. You catch yourself thinking about the wrong thing. You start saying a prayer and singing and thinking about the Lord. Get that out your mind. Because that's what that old human mind do. That's what a lot of television programs do. It calls us to think wrong. It calls us, a lot of times, women and men watching television. There's no other movie in history have caused as much division among male and female as Fatal Attraction. It caused division among the species. I mean, among the genders. We can't allow television to enter into our lives that way. You have to look at the word of God. He says, therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, because it's earthly wisdom. It's foolishness. It's that of men. You know what men looking for now? Perfect people. There are no perfect people. Now, you may catch people that's been doing something and hadn't got caught. You may be seeing people that has these things in their mind and you don't know what they've been thinking. He says, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. See, the really ones that's in God that's wise, they're not going to speak. They're not going to say anything, because God is giving them insight into what's going on in the world, that this is Babylon. If you're not spiritually coming out of Babylon, you will intrude on some of God's area. You will try to run somebody else's life. You go offer your opinion or your judgment about matters, fool with strife that don't belong to you, to cause wrong decisions to be made. You go upset the axis that God has in motion by your judgment. That's going to be your transgressions, because you didn't do what God told you to do. Remember, it says that each thought that there was going to be penalized, it says, and after you become obedient, we will punish everyone who remains disobedient. To those that are disobedient, God's going to punish those. So I don't know who's obedient to God and who's not, but God's running this thing. I tell people, I wouldn't want to be God. That's a powerful job. That's a mighty powerful job. Satan was a fool to want to be God. God is infinite. God knows all and he sees all. We don't have a fragment of the thought God has. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from God, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? There are works given are going on in this nation. There's works going on in this world that people think it's not seen. It was like a lot of these men that thought they had gotten away with what they had did. You're encompassed about by such a great cloud of witness. You need to run this race with patience. But also you really need to remember to lay aside every weight and sin that's besetting you from running this race. You don't know who sees you. Sometime you might think nobody's seen you at the corner. You may think somebody didn't see you creeping into that house. You may think somebody didn't see you watching what you was watching on television or that computer or what you was typing in those little message boxes. Well, but see, we as God's people, God has commissioned us and purposed us. So that's why we have to look at these thoughts. That's why he says, you remember I said we have to bring every thought into captivity and pull down the strongholds. In other words, it has to be aggressive. So that's why I say, I don't know, God could have them because nothing happens outside of God. So these women that are thine accusers, it could be that they may be like the men that was accusing the woman in adultery. And then maybe God may be causing it. You know, God is allowing it. But we don't know the intents of each player's heart. You see what I'm saying? Each person's heart. But he had given us hammers. And I don't know if these are hammers. But in Jeremiah, the first chapter of Jeremiah, the 9th through the 10th verse, it says, then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, look, I have put my words in your mouth. Today I appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. Some you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow. Others you must build up and plant. That's why I tell you, it's no difference in the people of the world. So whether it's me talking about the nation that I live in, saying it has to be torn down, or whether me building up other nations or other people saying, that's the right attitude. I'm only confirming it through the word of God. It's not by my opinion. I'm judging by the word of God. See, a spiritual man has to judge everything. And that's why I told you, politics is over with me. I no longer can trust in the politics of this nation. No longer do I read news or anything. I may be abreast of it, but so far as me sitting down, wasting time, listening at it, no confidence in this station anymore. No confidence in anything political, any other news. Okay? So no confidence in television programs. All of my confidence and hope is being transferred to God. That's the only hope I have. That's the only place that's where my thoughts are, thinking of heavenly things. So if you want to say I'm too heavenly minded to be any earthly good, however you want to choose that. But that's where my mind is on heavenly things. I'm tearing down anything. I'm being the aggressor for God. Anything that's not like God, he had given us a hammer. The word of God is like a hammer. And that's what we use the word of God. Beware if you're my wife. Beware if you're my brother, my sister, my mother, father, any members of the church. God's word is like a hammer. And I'm to preach and teach God's word. If it hits you, you need to line up with the word. See, that's what's wrong. A lot of preachers are preaching the word with preferences in not allowing the word to hit where it have to hit. You have to preach on sin. You have to preach on what's going on. Now, if you don't take heed to the word of God, I warn you. If you warn them, Ezekiel, you've done what I call you to do. Are you warning the people you meet? Are you being passive and not saying that? Are you being aggressive? See, that's how God's going to strengthen you, because those other thoughts and the way American thinking, the way television goes and the way politics goes and everything, that's not the way of God. We have to divorce ourselves from those strongholds in our lives, and those are strongholds until we pull them down. And the only way to pull them down is through the Word of God, through studying, through prayer, and actually doing the Word of God. That's how you get stronger. Now, who is to use this hammer? And who's he to use the hammer on? Jeremiah 18th chapter, the 7th to the 10th verse. He says, speak this word. He said, one moment I might suddenly speak concerning a nation or kingdom that I will uproot it and break it down and destroy. If that nation against which I have spoken turns from his evil, I will relent and reverse my decision concerning the devastation that I intended to do it. So if by me speaking what I'm speaking against this nation, against anybody that's going against the word of God, if that person does like when Jonah preached, says, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. If you truly repent, God may turn away. Now, I'm not afraid of looking bad. See, that's what Jonah's problem was. He said he knew God would do something like that, because at the preaching of Jonah, you know, Nineveh repented, and Jonah wasn't preaching in the message of repentance. He was preaching condemnation, but the people were so afraid that God turned their hearts. They turned to God. And that was something man had to do and God has to do. Remember, man participates in overcoming. They put sackcloth and ashes even on the animal. We'll speak about fasting here in a few moments, because we have to overcome evil. We have to pull down the strongholds in our lives. And that's by taking every thought captive. That's where the battlefield is in your mind. The battlefield is in your mind. We're not warring against flesh and blood. This is a spiritual warfare. He said, or at another time, I might suddenly speak about a nation or kingdom that I will build up or establish. And if they do evil in my sight by not obeying my voice, then I will reverse my decision concerning the good with which I promised to bless them. Jesus knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're doing. He knows of all what everyone is doing in this nation. And he knows the intentions of the people of this nation. He knows why you're doing tax reform. He knows why you're doing medical, the thing about medicine and health. He knows why you're doing anything you're doing. Matthew 12 and 25, it says, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city, listen at this, and every city, a house divided against itself shall not stand. If this nation is divided, it's no way it stands. And I can see that this nation is divided. You done got sports where you're divided at. It's all into your sports. It's all into everything, that this is the divided nation, and no nation can stand that's divided. With his knowledge, he didn't need any man to testify about him. So, like I say, I don't need nobody yanking my chain to testify about me. I'm not worried about what someone says. That's what I say. What these women say, or what who say, that's hearsay. That's tale-bearing. That's gossip. That's maliciousness. We have to depend on God. Jesus, in the book of John, the 2nd chapter, the 24th verse, it says, because of the miraculous signs Jesus did in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration, many began to trust in him. Now, they was trusting because of the signs and actually what he was doing. But Jesus didn't trust them. That's why I said, I don't trust this nation. I don't trust people. Because he knew all about people. He knew about man. He had made man. He didn't trust man. You fool around there and trust man and put your confidence in man. He knew all about people and understood the superficiality and the fickleness of human nature. You talking about superficial. You talking about a nation that's superficial and just as fickle. No one needed to tell him about human nature, for he knew what that was in their heart. He didn't trust man. Don't one day you're up, one day you're down. A lot of these sportscasters and news people, they were famous in giving you the news and everything, you trusted them. But here's one person that murdered that person. Now, you know that is murder if you slander somebody. If you kill their reputation, that's what they did, Jesus. They slandered who he was. That's murder. When you speak evil of people, you done murdered that man by destroying his reputation of who he was. They went after Jesus' reputation of who he was. That's, they called him a fornicator. They said he was a Beelzebub. When you start destroying, that's why I say I'm not speaking evil of either one of these parties, but you better be careful of what you say. Because God is purging, and that's why I say I'm sitting back and I'm watching the battle, but I'm in the midst of that battle because you have to know how to fight. Even his own people would be purged and refined, you know. In the church, read Revelation. It's people in the church being purged out of the church. You don't trust everybody in the church. You don't trust everybody in this nation talking about they are followers of God, that they are Christian. And that make me suspect sometime when you got to tell me what you are. In the book of Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter of Ezekiel in the 18th verse, it says, "Son of man, the house of Israel has become dross, as metallic waste to me. All of them are useless bronze, tin, iron, and lead in the furnace. They are of dross." In other words, he was going to have to purge them because they had got dull of hearing. They had become battle-worn. They wasn't any more good. He was going to destroy them, you know. And that's why Ezekiel was. He was a prophet in captivity. He was in Babylon, and God was telling him, and he was going to take him back and show him where he was destroying his own people. We all have to be purged now. Whoever that is not walking in the word of God, the word preached will feel the judgment of God. They will feel the judgment of God because of their disobedience, because that's what I was saying. If God hadn't told these people to testify or say what they're saying, if that's of their own accord, if they're trying to get even with somebody, isn't that their obedience, disobedience? They're not exercise of using the word of God, because in Romans, God says, "Vengeance is mine, I'll repay." But now you to repay. Okay, if that would relieve you of guilt all these 20 or 30 years, now you can accuse this man and made him lose all this stuff and everything. If God didn't tell you to do that, you've taken your vengeance. I don't know if that's going to make you feel better or not, but God knows. Yeah. See, if you had turned it over to God, see, that was a long time to carry around a fruit of bitterness and hate, that you wanted to get even. You see what I'm saying about being vindictive, whether that's of God or not? You're responsible for that. Each man, Satan could put those thoughts in the mind in this nation by the newspaper and the media and all this, and by politics. It's influencing you to follow the culture. You notice how it goes in cultures, and it goes around. One thing is hot, and then the next thing is hot. Everybody kind of, it's a spirit that's going around. In the last days, these seducing spirits come around. You have to put that evil, you have to take these thoughts captive. You have to stay out of the fray. In the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, the 19th verse, he says, "7 days no leaven shall be found in your houses. Whoever eats whatever is leavened shall be cut off and excluded from the atonement of the congregation of Israel, whether a stranger or native born." Yep, God says in Exodus 23:20-30 that he was going to cut them off. He does not even say at this point he would kill the enemies, though. He says, you must not take of sin. You have to put sin out of your house. You have to put sin out of your body. You have to put sin out of your life. That's your participation. You have to overcome sin. You have to put your members to death. You have to mortify your body. So am I to be mad at somebody else if I lose these battles? No, it's only me, myself, I have to fault. I got to go back and sharpen my axe some more. because I have to overcome. See, Joseph fled from sin, but we are to overcome sin. He says, flee youthful lust. But the thing is, you have to get that lust out of your members. That desire has to be out of your members. I was talking Saturday where Job said he had made a covenant with his eyes that he wouldn't look after a woman to lust after. But we have to get to the point where that's not even in our nature then. And that's how Jesus walked, that he couldn't look at a woman and not lust after her. That's the fault. Paul says, I'm warring. That I don't want to do, I do. It's in my members. In other words, this is in your flesh. The lust of the flesh. I tell my wife, it's a lot of programs that come on television that you can't even watch with your children because they go do some horrible, horrible thing to a person like on Criminal Minds. It's going to be on some sitcom or some program. They're going to talk about sex or going to bed or some relationship outside of marriage. There's going to be some scantily clad or scantily dressed woman or man. You're going to be lusting for the bad guy to win or whatever. You're going to be condoning relationships outside of marriage for people to fall in love with the leading man or the leading woman or whatever. We have to get this out of our lives to where we don't even think about these things, where it doesn't come into our mind. That's why that they were during the days of unleavened bread. They were charging with getting the sin out. We have to get sin out of our lives. It says, for my angel will go before you and bring you into the lands of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, Jebusites, so you may live there. And I will destroy them completely. You must not worship the gods of these nations, nor serve them in any way, imitate their evil practices. Instead, you must utterly destroy them and smash their pillars. What he says, you must do this. You must not worship the way the people worship. You mustn't take their holidays and their traditions. He says, now you're going into Babylon. We're in this nation, but just because everyone else is doing it, we can't geographically come out, but we have to mentally come out of the world. We can't follow the things of the world. We can't love the things of the world. We don't have God if we love it. So this is something you have to do. It says, save yourself. So this is overcoming. You must serve only the Lord your God. If you do, I will bless you with food and water and will protect you from illness. There will be no miscarriages or infertility in your land, and I will give you long, full lives. I will send my terror ahead of you and create panic among the people whose land you invade. I will make all your enemies turn and run. I will send terror ahead of you to drive out the Hittites, the Canaanites, the Hittites. But I will not drive them out in a single year because the land would become desolate and the wild animals would multiply and threaten you. I will drive them out a little at a time until your population has increased enough. So through this warfare, God's going to leave us in the world. He said, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil in the world. And the only way we can do that is stay at war with the evil. That knowing that we at war and do not tolerate, do not compromise with the forces of this world. We have to walk circumspectively, y'all. Because Satan, as the adversary, he's looking to devour you. He's shooting those fiery darts. That's why we have to have the shield of faith, because that arrow may be just on television that now you worshiping some pop star, somebody that's singing, or you didn't see Victoria's Secret commercials and things, or you didn't watch this or whatever. Those are fiery darts that he's aiming at you. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes. The Christians fight. They were to drive out the inhabitants even as we are with the cooperation of God. That's why I say our weapons are mighty through God. So God is choosing what we're doing. We have to seek ye first the kingdom of God. We have to be led by the Spirit of God. We are to confront and drive out all the old habits and attitudes and loyalties. You were once loyal to your mother, to your wife, to whoever. You have to be loyal to God. if wife doing something, a husband doing something, a children, whoever's doing something and it's against the word of God, you that beacon, you have to be that standard to say, son, don't do that. Honey, I'm not going along with this. My loyalty is to God. Old habits has to disappear. That you used to do, it has to be put away. These are negative characteristics left over from the old days. And that's what I say. These men, that some of them may have these things. Now, I'm not saying all. Some of them may be good men. But see, we all have things left over. Are you putting that away? And I'm not going to say any man is perfect, any woman is perfect. But there are a lot of them are striving for perfection in Christ. We have to do this. Christian living paralyzed this Old Testament instruction of putting away evil or putting leaven out of our lives. This is one reason the New Testament has so many illustrations regarding Christian warfare. We in a war, y'all. And if you're not keeping yourself equipped with the spiritual armor of God, you will fall behind in this battle. God is preparing us to rule. He says you will rule and reign with Christ, but you can't do it through passivity. You can't do it by being passive. You got the violent taking it by force. He haven't given us a spirit of fear. Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, the 7th through the 9th verse. It says, "For thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and shout for the first and foremost of the nations, the chosen people. Proclaim, give praise and so, Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I'm bringing them from the north country. I will gather them from the remote parts of the earth. Among them will be the blind and the lame, the woman with child and she who labors in childbirth together. A great company, they will return here to Jerusalem. They will come with weeping and repentance for joy, and by their prayer for the future, I will lead them. I will make them walk by streams of water on a straight path in which they will not stumble, for I am the father of Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn." Through trial and tribulation. Notice a lot of these women are in childbirth. A lot of these women are bringing forth children. A lot of these men are lost, are blind and lame. They've had difficulties. They've suffered hardship. But they're being led to a point of restoration. We're going to study restoration because that's in Zephaniah also. But this regenerated man, this man who's being regenerated, this man who's taking these thoughts into the captivity and doing as God says do, he's preparing them for a rule. And you remember I told you about the Davidic covenant, that there will be a human rule here on earth, the kingdom of God. God is preparing his people at this time to rule and reign with him on earth in a physical body. These are spiritual people with the laws of God being written in their hearts. There will be a millennial reign of Christ. There will be a time when David's throne will be occupied. There will be a time when God installed his people in this world will pass away. The holy mountains of God, the whole earth will have the knowledge of God. As these people kind of come out of captivity, they will have turned to God. You remember I told you repentance is necessary now. It's necessary, and it's a wonderful first step. But there is some work you have to do. You can't just say you repent. They will have a frame of mind renouncing self-will. It won't be any self-will people among these people, where they can begin to be worked with. But like I said, this not going to appear by magic or some voila. Their character and psychological problems will be removed through the word of God and through them pulling down the stronghold. Satan have infected you. Can I tell y'all, we infected? The flesh has infected us in its enmity against God. But we must put it to death. We must mortify. Even in our own lives since conversion, God has had to bring us face to face with weakness of character and attitude in us that we must overcome. He's shown you your faults. He's showing you if you're walking with God, you've put away that vindictiveness. I see some so-called Christians so full of vindiction. Like I say, I don't know whether these people are being vindictive or not, but you have to forgive others if God's to forgive you. How you gonna forgive somebody? He says you should forgive your brother 70 times 70. Well, this person done you something so long, do you know that's a root of bitterness in you, in that vindictiveness that you've chosen to carry around and abhor that wasn't of God? I can't imagine the horror trapped in your mind to hate somebody that long. God, Joseph named his sons Ephraim and Manasseh. One of them he named Ephraim, I think, was, it says, because God had helped him to forget. Have you forgotten what people have done to you? Have you laid that to God? Are you still bitter? And they did this to me when I was a child, and that's why I hate them, and they messed up my life. Have you turned your life into God? It says, though that happened, I forgive them, Lord. And I'm pressing on. I'm a new person in you. I'm forgetting that which is behind. You so holding that grudge from back then. Kind of forgot what it was about. Man. I can't understand how a person can destroy somebody else's life to say that made my life better. When they were destroying Jesus, he said, forgive them, Lord. They don't know what they're doing. He was forgiving people who were killing him. It must be something of the spirit. It has to be a spiritual person that does that. The reason I say that is because Stephen says, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Don't lay this to their charge. Demas was walking right along with Paul. Demas was walking, and Paul said, you know, Demas, forsake me for this present world. And he didn't tell us any more about that, though. But he said the Lord will repay him. Hymenaeus and Philippus, however you pronounce that name, Paul said that, and Alexander the coppersmith, he said, you know, they did me much harm. You know, I've turned them over to Satan to teach them not to blaspheme. And in other words, these people have done me wrong, and I just cut them loose. I just got away from around them. I just stopped preaching to them. I've turned them over to Satan. Have you just turned somebody over and say, look, I'm done with you. I can't do it. I'll put you in the Lord's hand. You have to remit their sins back to them. You can't carry that sin around. The burden is too heavy. You have to lay that up on Jesus. But if you still hating that person that did you something when you was a child, if you still hating that person that did you something on that job years ago, if you still hate, no haters. Satan will continue to work on you and do things. But we have to establish and build on a sure foundation. And I'm going to go deeper into this about fasting and prayer and breaking loose. But see, all of this lies in our thought life. And we have to keep this out of our thoughts, because these people have been carrying these people around for years. You need to lay aside those weights and sin that's besetting you from running the race, all that's hindering you. Heavenly Father,